We'll go to verse number 18. Jyotishamapi tad jyotihi. Tamasah param uchyate. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam. Hridi sarvasya veshtitam. Vasya veshtitam. So, jyotishamapi tat jyotihi. That light, the light of consciousness of Brahman. Jyotishamapi jat jyotihi. It is the light of all lights. Of all lights, it is the light. But tamasah param uchyate. But it is beyond darkness. See, this whole section is full of contradictory statements. And why is the Rishi putting those statements? Because he wants us to think. What does he mean? It is not that simple. Because to describe Brahman in human language is impossible. No matter whether it is Sanskrit, whether it is Latin, whether it's Greek, whether it's Arabic, this Lord of all Lords cannot be described but by these suggestive statements. And if you read the Upanishads, it is full of such statements, which are, the Brahma Sutras even more so, all the more and more difficult texts you study, they are all full of such contradictory and confusing statements that you need a guru. And that's why in our Vedantic study, we have to have a guru. You cannot sit down and take a dictionary and say, oh, the light of all lights beyond darkness. It doesn't make any sense. Just using a dictionary or just going on the internet and getting somebody's translation doesn't help, because again, the person who is translating, you don't know from which standpoint he's speaking, how much is his knowledge, is he only a scholar or is he a master who has experienced the truth. So the guru, not only in the Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, in the Vivek Chudamani, it is said that the teacher should be Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, should have the knowledge. Shrotriyam, he should have read the scriptures, he should have the knowledge, and Brahmanishtam, and he should be established in Brahman. He should have the personal experience. If somebody is just talking from the textbook, then not that I have the experience, so please don't think that, but I have had the fortune of meeting these realized masters and studying from them. So the guru, the teacher, should be established in the truth and should have the spiritual knowledge. Such a teacher you should approach, because these kind of statements cannot be explained just by, you know, just by Sanskrit dictionary. So he says, Jyotisham api tad jyotihi. It is the light of all lights. Tamasah para uchyate. Uchyate means it is said to be tamasah para. It is beyond darkness. So the light of all lights, beyond darkness. And then it says, jnanam jneyam jnana gamyam. Jnanam means it is the knowledge. So here they use knowledge not in the sense of the goal, but in the sense of the means. The means of knowledge, it is that to be known, jneyam, again it says, and jnana gamyam. And how am I to know it? Through knowledge. So it is the knowledge that has to be known through knowledge. That's what is said in this section. And where is he? Where is he? Where can I find this? Hridi, in the heart. Sarvasya, of all beings. Vishthitam, it is stationed, it is established. So where do I find him? In the heart of all beings. We'll talk a little bit about this light. Because we always think of consciousness as being light, you know, and even when in the Puranas, when you read, you know, this person was sitting in meditation, had been sitting for, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years, and then suddenly a light appeared and then he saw the Lord in front of him. I think that is a picturization. And so we also have this impression that God is some kind of light. And then also they say, the light of consciousness. It is in the light of consciousness that you know your body. You know, that's why, how do I know my body? Because it is illumined by the consciousness. I know my body, I know my mind, I know my intellect, I know my vasanas, my desires. I know the whole world of objects, emotions and thoughts in the light of consciousness. And that is used customarily in the sense of, because even the, when we talk about in the ordinary world, they say, oh, he's in the darkness of ignorance. So darkness of ignorance does not mean that he, when he goes to the college, they will shine a light on him and he will suddenly become illumined. It's not that. What they mean is darkness of ignorance. So light is the light of knowledge. And even people who meditate have this great misunderstanding that there is some light. And there are actually some schools which teach them that you have to, in meditation, you have to listen for some sounds and then watch for some blue light. Maybe, you know, these may be signposts, but then people misunderstand. You know, Gurudev in his commentary says, you know, one person came to me, Swamiji, I was sitting in deep meditation. And Swamiji said, okay, then what happened? And Swamiji, a light came from the right hand side, very powerful. Then what happened? Luckily, Swamiji, it went away to the left side. So how are you now? But Swamiji, now I have a headache because the light was so powerful that it disturbed my nerve. So the doctor told me, don't meditate. So people have this misapprehension that there is some kind of light that will appear. And they think that is God. But Swamiji says, look, Brahman is permanent. It's not that he will appear and disappear, because again, he has nowhere to disappear to. He is everywhere. So Brahman is not that he appears at some time and disappears, even though in our Puranas they say the Lord appeared in front of him and blessed him. That may be because that was that devotee's desire. If a devotee has this strong desire to see the Lord appearing in a particular form, this totality, this consciousness will bless him. If he say, I want to see you as Mother Goddess, like Ramakrishna Paramhans, then the Lord appeared as Mother Durga. Vitthala, he wanted, this, you know, see Pandurang, this, what was, Tukaram. He wanted to see this Pandurang and he appeared in front of him, Tulsidas and Surdas and all. But generally, the way they describe this, the Brahman or the Lord or the consciousness, it is the light of consciousness in which you can perceive your body, your mind, your intellect. You can know it. It is the light of knowledge. It is the light of consciousness in which you can know your body. You can know your mind. You can know your intellect. Thank you. So that is what they mean by light. It is that which illumines. Because in the absence of consciousness, my body, you know, is non-functional, is dead. My mind and intellect is not functional. Like, not only I may be dead, but say if I'm in deep sleep and the consciousness is not functioning through me, then am I able to see anything? Am I able to experience anything? No. So that is one meaning, that it is that which illumines and gives life to your body, mind and intellect, so it can function. The other interpretation of that is that all lights are known only in the light of consciousness. Swamiji Chinmayananda says there are only five sources of light in the world: the sun, the moon, the stars, the lightning and the fire. So only five. Everything else is a modification, like electricity is a modification of lightning. So sun, moon, stars, lightning and fire. So there are five sources of light in this world. You can't think of any others. So now how do I know? Like the sun is shining. You know, the sun is self-effulgent. The sun does not need another light to illuminate. But how do I know the sun is shining? I have to be conscious. This reminds me of another story. There was this Mahatma who had a, you know, he was in a, living in a dark cave. way in the deep inside the mountain. And he had his disciples who were staying with him, and they would live in the cave. And then during the day, go out for whatever, to get food and all, and then they would go to sleep. So one day early morning, it was maybe 3-4 o'clock, and they had just finished their meditation. So he tells one of the disciples, can you go out of the cave and see if the sun has risen? You know, because they wanted to do some prayer at sunrise. So the disciple took out a flashlight. He said, where are you taking the flashlight? He said, I'm taking the flashlight to go and see if the sun has come out. No, that's a foolish disciple. You don't need that. The sun does not need a flashlight to illuminate. The sun is self-effulgent. So similarly, this light of consciousness is self-effulgent. It does not need something else to illuminate. Just as you don't need a flashlight to see the sun, similarly, your intellect, you do not need the intellect to see this consciousness, to know this consciousness. The intellect is the one that's illumined by the consciousness, but the intellect itself cannot know it. But the reason we are studying about it, because as we have said again and again, in the light of this knowledge, having acquired this knowledge, you then sit down and turn inward. Turn your attention away from the necklace and turn it towards the gold. Turn your attention away from this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and turn it inward. And what you will find, that it is your own true nature. It is the consciousness that is my own true nature, that is illumining. So the illumining is that which is giving me life, giving me awareness, giving me the ability to function. So when the mind becomes completely quiet, in that deep silence of your meditation, you then turn inwards and you feel the Lord's presence as life. There is a very beautiful aarti that we all do in the Chinmaya mission. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. So he says, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. So that light, that consciousness, the Lord, surya, chandra, tara, even the sun, the moon, or the stars cannot illumine him. That Lord cannot be illumined by the sun or the moon or the stars. Na ima vidyuto bhanti. And even this lightning, that when it shines in the sky, cannot illumine that. Kutoyam agnihi, and this little fire that I'm lighting, I'm thinking this will illumine the Lord. What a fool I am. You know, when we offer that, we say, oh, this Lord, I'm offering it to you. When the sun and the moon and the stars and the lightning cannot illumine that consciousness, kutoyam agnihi, how can this little fire? But then why am I offering this fire to the Lord? Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Anubhati means after. After his illumination, after that, everything else is illumined. The sun is illumined by him. The moon is illumined by him. The stars, the fire, the lightning. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. With that light alone, everything that I see is illumined. This, all the people are illumined. They are moving and walking and talking because of his fire, because of his light. The plants are growing, the birds are flying, the fish are swimming. Everything is happening because of that one light of consciousness. So that's why it is said it is the light of all lights. Another meaning, there is so much you can talk about light of lights. Now, you say the sun is shining. You know, I can see the sun shining. But suppose you're walking and you bump your head and you fall down unconscious. The sun is still shining. Can you see it? No. Or if somebody, you know, God forbid, is blind. Like, there is actually a very beautiful poem. I was a little boy, I had read. It says, what is light? There's this blind child asking his mother, Oh, mother, what is this thing called light? And he doesn't know it, even though his eyes are open, the light is shining in his eyes, but he does not have the ability to see. So he says, what is this thing you call light? So there may be the sun and the moon and lightning and the fire and electricity, everything shining. But if I am unable to see, and that's why they say that light does not travel into the eyes, to the mind. It is the mind that goes out through the sense organs to illumine all the objects, and which is true. Like say you're driving on the freeway and you see so many objects, you know, you see so many. Do we notice them all? The eyes keep on feeding you, you know, and then after you'll go some mile and then your wife will say, did we pass that exit? I don't, you know, so didn't you see? No, I didn't see it. Even though there was 2-3 signs, you know, exit 1 mile, Gorman 1 mile, and then Gorman, and then 100 feet, and you have passed. Because your mind is not registering, because you don't need to take the Gorman exit. You're going to go to Lancaster. So, you know, exits come and go. So the eyes keep on feeding you the information, but unless your mind is available, the thoughts do not register. So it is the light of consciousness that goes out through the mind and intellect, through the sense organs, the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue, to illumine the world of sights, the world of sounds, the world of taste, touch, smell. So this entire universe is unavailable for me if I am not conscious, if I am in deep sleep, if I am in coma, if I am under anesthesia. So that is why they say that it is only in the present, only a conscious person can see light. Otherwise, you may be in a bright room with 1,000-watt bulb shining in your face, but if you are deep sleep or you are in coma or you are under anesthesia, you will not perceive the light. So that's why it is said to be the light of all lights, that only in the presence of this consciousness can all lights be perceived. Otherwise, the world will be dark for you. You may be walking around in a lit world, but unless your eyes are functioning, unless you are conscious. So that's why it is said it is beyond, it is the light of all lights. But then the Rishi confuses us further. He says it is beyond darkness. What do you mean? What do you mean beyond darkness? Because in our worldly light, light and darkness cannot exist together, right? You cannot have light and darkness in the same place. Either you have light or you have darkness. If you turn on the light, the darkness disappears. So this particular light is said to be beyond darkness. What do they mean by that? Is that like if I'm in a lighted room and you say, are you here? He'll say, yes, I'm here. And then say, now you enter the next room, which is dark. And somebody asks you, are you here? You're not going to say, wait a minute, let me turn on the light. And then I'll tell you whether I'm here or not. No, I know it. I can see I am aware of myself in the lit room. In the pitch dark also, I am aware. So I do not need the light to know myself. So this consciousness not only illumines the light, but also illumines darkness. Even in a dark room, I am aware that there is darkness, there is no light, but I still know I'm there. I may not be able to see any objects. It may be pitch dark. All the windows are closed, but I still know I am there. So that consciousness, which is illumining not only light, but also darkness, and makes me aware of both light and darkness, is said to be beyond darkness. So that consciousness knows light and knows darkness, and that is the Lord, that is me, that's why even in the pitch of night, you know, you know where you are or what you're doing, even if you haven't been somewhere, but if you have been somewhere before, it may be dark, like in your own house, but you know, okay, the bathroom door is here, there is a cupboard on the way, I should not hit it. How do you know? Because the consciousness remembers that even in the darkness, I should go this way and then go and all that. I don't need to put on the light. So tamasah param uchyate jnanam jneyam jnana gamyam. And it is knowledge that can be known only by knowledge. So knowledge is the goal and knowledge is the means. So when they say knowledge is the goal and knowledge is the means, what is the goal? As we had studied in the previous verse, it is the only goal to be known. But when they say it should be known by knowledge, what they mean is you should have the knowledge of the scriptures. You need to read the scriptures. You need to sit at the feet of a guru and with humility, prostrate to the guru, serve the guru, and then learn from the teacher with extreme humility. And the path is also called knowledge, because that's why in gati, like gati is another beautiful word in Sanskrit, which means it is the goal and it is the means. It is the path and it is the goal. So similarly here, it is the knowledge that I have to know through knowledge. So through reading the scriptures, through learning from a guru. The other meaning Swamiji in his book says that it is through utilizing those 20 values that we had studied, you know, ahimsa, kshantir, arjavam, all those values that we have studied, anahankar, evacha, anabhishvanga and all that. So that which is, when you practice those 20 values, you then your mind becomes pure and you practice humility, non-violence, lack of ego, unselfishness, devotion to the Lord, devotion to the teacher, mai ananya bhakti, you know, total devotion to me. The Lord says, so when you practice all these values which you have obtained from the scriptures, when you apply them in your life, and then you having made your mind quiet through the practice of all these values of love, compassion and all, then you can know him. So through this means, so the means is knowledge, the means is developing those values, and then when your mind becomes quiet, peaceful, pure, only in a pure mind the Lord can be known. If there is impurities in the mind like anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness, the Lord does not reside in that, which he will talk about in the next verse. He says, Hridi sarvasya vishthitam. Hridi means in the heart of sarvasya, of all, vishthitam. He's in the heart of all. Because people say, where do you need to find God? So Kabir Das ji said, main to tere paas mein, murko kahan dhunde re bande, where are you looking for me? I am the closest. In another place in the Upanishad, it says he is the eye of the eye. He is the ear of the ear. He is the breath of the breath. So you are breathing because of him. You are seeing because of him. You are, you know, listening because of him. He is the speech of the speech, you know. So whatever is happening, it is the Hridi. What do they mean by Hridi? When we say heart, people have this idea of this pumping heart, you know, that heart. So that then the heart surgeons should be all realized masters, because they cut open the heart and they are seeing. So they should have, all of them should have seen God, but they don't. They cut open and they don't see. He's not there. Actually, he's everywhere, but he's not visible. In Sanskrit, when they're in the spirituality, when they say Hrit, the word heart, it's not the pumping heart. It is translated as that portion of your mind from which noble thoughts and loving thoughts emerge. So in our mind, we have two portions. You know, one portion has the negative thoughts, anger, greed, jealousy and all. And then one portion has a loving thought. They are all together. You know, it's combined. It's not we have two minds. We have only one mind which has both. So that part of the mind where love, compassion, kindness, unselfishness, sharing, the Lord says, I reside there. I stay in your heart, but I stay in that. So how about if a person has none of these? He's very, you know, hatred, and he's very rude and very cruel and very mean and a dacoit and a gangster and all. But when he goes home to his child, he still loves that child. Even though he may be the biggest gangster and crook, but he doesn't want his son to become that. He says, I want my son to go to college and study, and I don't want him to, you know, ruin his life. I don't want my son to become a drug dealer. He's not going to give drugs to his son. So we all have love and compassion, but it's not used appropriately. So the Lord says, wherever you see this manifesting, you see love, compassion, kindness, I am there. So he says, Hridi Sarvasya Vishthitam. I am in the heart of all, wherever there is goodness. In the 18th chapter, Sri Krishna very beautifully says it. He says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Junatishthati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So he says, O Arjuna, Ishvara, the Lord, Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe, in the kingdom of your heart, in the country of your heart, Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. Then what does he do there? You know, what is his job? So Krishna, actually this sounds like a modern technology textbook. It was written 8,000 years ago. He says, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani. He says, Brahmayan, he like a motor, he turns us. Exactly the word, you know, like a motor, he rotates. Yantra Rudhani Maya. Yantra means like an equipment. So just as a piece of equipment is turned by a motor, so he as the life rotates all of us and moves us. I mean, this kind of, I don't know if they had those motors and those equipment, but that is the kind of words they used. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. By the power of Maya, the elusive power of Maya, which is also the creative power of the Lord. They say the Maya has two components. One is the creative and one is the elusive. So with the creative power, he creates, and then with the elusive power, he hides. He hides within us, within our heart, and that's why we are not able to find him. In fact, there's another story. He says, when the world was being created, you know, the gods were there and the demons were there, and so they were talking, and the creator, the Lord himself, came. He said, where should I hide? You know, he had made the earth already. So he said, I want to hide in earth, but where should I hide? So somebody said, you know, hide in the clouds, in the space. They said, no, man is very smart. You know, he'll make a plane, he'll make a rocket, and he'll reach space and he'll find me. So they say, okay, hide in the bottom of the ocean. Said, no, man is very smart. He'll make a submarine, go to the bottom of the ocean and find me. So then somebody said, Lord, you hide in his heart and he'll never find you because he'll never look. He'll never find you, and that's the best place to hide. So that's why he says, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Then the next verse is even more beautiful. In this 18th chapter is full of, he says, Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata Tat Prasadat Param Shanti Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam. He says, go to his refuge, Tameva, that refuge alone, Sharanam Gacha. Gacha means go, it is the imperative mode. Sarva Bhavena Bharata, O Arjuna, by all your efforts, your physical efforts, your emotional efforts, your intellectual efforts, all your efforts should be utilized in reaching Sharanam, to reach his refuge. He said, why should I do that? You know, I'm wasting my time. You say I have to sit down and give up, you know, give up my parties and give up my drinking and all this shopping and all this, this beautiful world of, you know, glittering of all this jewelry, blah, 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 all this I have to give up and then go for what? What am I going to get out of it? Is there any benefit of that? You know, I would rather go to a party on Friday night, have a couple of drinks, you know, with my buddies and, you know, be happy. And why, as you say, sit home and meditate. For what? What is the benefit? So Sri Krishna says, Tat Prasadat Param Shanti. With his grace, with his blessings, Shanti. Because ultimately, whatever I am acquiring, why am I getting it? For Shanti, right? So if I have money, then I'll have peace. If I have this person whom I love, if I get him, I'll have peace. If I have a child, you know, it's only, you know, for a while it is peace, and then he becomes teenager and forget it. All peace becomes pieces. So we're doing everything for peace. You know, if I have a big house with a security system and I have an armed guard standing outside and I have the state of the art that monitors inside, then I'll have peace. Because nobody can steal. But these are all temporary peace. If you want the highest peace, the permanent peace, look for it in permanent things. Param Shantim. This is all temporary. You know, you might build an alarm and you go and the thieves can still find ways to break in. I mean, you have happiness for a while with some person or some object, then sooner or later you lose that person or that object. So temporary peace, if we want, look for it in the objects, world of objects. If you want permanent peace, Param Shantim, you look in me, Krishna says, because permanent thing, Shanti can only be got in permanent things. Temporary peace you can get in temporary things. And then he says, Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam. Sthanam, and you will get that abode which is Shashvat. Shashvat means eternal. That's why our Hindu Dharma is called Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means it is eternal. When man first appeared on earth, that's when this religion was manifested, when the rishis first appeared. In fact, that's why we trace our ancestry to rishis. That's why they ask you, what is your kul? They say Bhardwaj or whatever the gotras you have, the different gotras, Kashyap and all that. So that's why it says the Shashvatam. If you want an eternal abode, you come to me. Whatever else you get on this world, whatever house you get, whatever support you get, is all temporary. So if you want permanent peace and a permanent place where you can rest, because what is a home? Home is the place where I come, I work all day, and I've gone through all life's problems, and then I come home to rest, and I can sleep. So that is a temporary rest, but if you want permanent rest, permanent refuge, permanent peace, permanent comfort, come to me. So that is the essence of this verse, that the Lord is in my heart, and when I find him, then I am at peace, then I am at rest. Then no matter what situations I have, no matter what the world throws at me, if you look at the lives of great saints, as we have talked, they were all tortured by us. Whether it was Mirabai, or whether it was Tukaram, or Gyaneshwar, or the Sikh gurus, or the Jesus, or Buddha, none of them was well treated. All of them were mistreated, but they remained smiling, they remained happy, and they shared their love and compassion with us because they had found that permanent joy, that permanent peace. And that's what Mirabai says, Mere to Giridhar Gopal, Dusara na koi, jaake sir mor mukut, mero pati soi. That is only the one I want, and that is the goal of life. So that's why these five or six verses, we should all read very carefully, if possible, memorize them. And then try to apply them to find God. And there is no better description of the path and no better description of who he is than you will find in the 13th chapter. First applying the values and then the nature of Brahman or consciousness. It's very well, very beautifully written chapter. It's worth reading and listening again. Any comments about this verse?
I think it's enlightening to think that your consciousness illuminates what you see rather than reverse. That's always been my assumption, but it also makes sense that...
Yeah, but the consciousness illumines, that what you attract, positive or negative, is more by your thoughts. Like the movie The Secret, you know, where you attract good or bad. It depends on your thoughts. Because if I constantly think negative, oh, I hope I don't get cancer, I hope I don't get cancer, you will. If you think, I am fine, everything is good in my life. So people who are optimistic, generally good things happen to them. And the people who are always worried and always, oh, I hope this doesn't happen, I'm so worried. The more you worry, the more problems they'll have. That's how I understand it. When you attract, yes, they find opportunities and they attract those things. Because this whole world I create with my own thoughts. I create my own world. You say, I don't create this. No, each one of us. Like now this world of, you know, where we are listening, because of you had this desire to know about it. Like an alcoholic, what kind of world he creates of alcoholics? He associates with other alcoholics. They meet together and they drink. A sportsman, he creates a world of sports where they meet on Monday night and watch football. Sunday, the whole day they are in gathering somebody's house watching football. And from Monday to Sunday, all he's thinking about is the next Sunday's game. An accountant, whom does he associate with? Other accountants, a world of accountants. Engineers create a world of engineers. Thieves, they associate with other thieves. You know, they make a gang of thieves so that we can steal. So each one creates our own world based on our thoughts. And even the events you can influence. If you think positive, you can have positive events. If you think negative, you can have negative. So I think that is what I think you were talking about. But the consciousness illumines both your negative and your positive thoughts. Consciousness illumines both thoughts equally. But thank you, but that's a good point. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha, Hari Om.